All right, Alexander, we need to talk about the former founder of Microsoft and his involvement in CV and in his vaccine agenda. Now, on January 30th, 30th, 31st, there was an incredible interview with Robert Kennedy Jr. on RT America, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and he's chairman for the Children's Health Defense. He's a philanthropist, he's an activist, he's a Democrat, he's a liberal, he comes from one of the most elite liberal Democrat families probably ever in the history of the US. And he's really outspoken against Bill G, the Microsoft founder, and what he is pushing now with his vaccine agenda and dealing with CV. And I'm concerned with what he's pushing as well because, he's appearing everywhere all of a sudden. He was kind of off the map for a couple of years. He stepped down from the day-to-day operations at Microsoft a while ago, and he's been working in his foundation. And all of a sudden, it seems that he's on every channel, taking every interview and talking about how he feels, every country should act and how the world should act when dealing with the CV. And unfortunately, it seems that a lot of governments around the world are going along with what he's saying. And what he's saying seems to be where we're heading, i.e., vaccination, where, they'll be able to then see if you can travel abroad, if you can, go outside and go to certain shops. Because that vaccination may have a chip or may have some sort of marker or maybe even some paper documents as well. And when you show those credentials, then you'll be able to go about your normal business. If you don't have those credentials, then of course you won't be able to do anything. You may not even be able to open up a bank account. I don't know. But this is what Bill it seems to be pushing. Now, go ahead, Alexander, and then I'm going to read some excerpts from Robert F. Kennedy's article, which he eviscerates Bill G. And before you go on, we're being very careful. I just want to let all our viewers know we're being extremely careful what we're saying because we know that YT will absolutely take down this video if we start mentioning names and what's going on here, that we know. So we're being very careful with the words that we use. That's why we're using founder of Microsoft or Bill G or CV or Corona or anything else. So just keep that in mind, everybody. We want this video to be up online for people to see it, not for anything else. We just want them to be able to see it. So, Alexander.
Exactly. So, bear with us if we have to use language, careful language, and choose our words very carefully. This is something that we have to do. But first of all, you've mentioned a certain person, the former founder of, well, the founder of Microsoft. As far as I know, he's not a biologist or an epidemiologist or a medical doctor or an expert in all of these things. The one thing
He's
he
a
is,
computer
the well, the, well, he's that, obviously. He's also a person, a monopolist, because that's what Microsoft for a very long time was, and to a great extent still is. I mean, it still dominates, vast chunks of the IT industry. So he's a monopolist. He is, if you like, well, he's a billionaire. For a very long time, he was one of the richest, well, he was the richest man in the world. And he's also somebody who has a history of being extremely controlling. So I asked this question, and I think it's a question that leads on, goes back directly to the points that you were making. Firstly, why is he interested so much in these subjects and topics? And upon what authority does he come forward and give all these interviews and express himself in all these ways about subjects which seem to me to be completely outside his era, sphere of knowledge? And secondly, Why is he being treated by so many people as if he were an authority on these kinds of subjects in which he is not remotely qualified? And why is it not pointed out, that whilst he is not in any sense a medical authority or a biology or scientist or a life scientist person, he is a monopolist and a billionaire, and if you like, an oligarch. And the one thing I know about monopolists and billionaires and oligarchs, even when they say they are philanthropists, is that they are invariably and always people with agendas. And I can't help but think that he has an agenda, and that this is an agenda we should certainly be extremely careful about. I'm going to add something else. I was reading a few days ago, this is not directly apropos of this gentleman that we've been talking about, but of the enormous profits that whoever is the first person to come up with a vaccine to deal with this present crisis is going to make, and of the enormous amount of competition between various laboratories and groups of people to produce this vaccine. And I also remember how this used to be said formally about IT, and how certain very well-placed people scooped in all this work that people had been doing in IT, took control of it, imposed their own conception of it, and as a result, obtained an absolute stranglehold for a long time of the IT industry. And I can't help but think, when I look back at the history of this person, that maybe he has a similar plan for vaccines. Just saying.
Well, I think I agree. And I think it's even more sinister than that, because I think it's the combination of having a monopoly on the vaccine and then having a monopoly on the technology to track people.
Well, exactly.
Who have tested negative or positive for the vaccine.
It brings the two together. And of course, you're already looking at all these apps, which, to be very clear, you know, these apps began in China, but also in South Korea, where the South Korean government gives you an app which tells you, alerts you whether somebody is apparently, you're in close proximity to someone who is testing positive. So is this the world where we're going to be? So let's assume this whole particular health crisis is gone once and for all. You know, we sort it out, but you know, we have other ones, because there's always going to be other things. So, you know, are you going to be alerted every time, you know, somebody close to you comes round with, you know, rubella or, you know, flu or whatever it is? Are you going to have people monitored like this, so that, you know, you're alerted in this fashion, and that, you know, you have to have the vaccine, because if you don't have the vaccine, an app of this kind will be warning people, you know, red lights will be flashing that you're close to somebody who hasn't been vaccinated. Is that the world we're heading towards? It seems to me you're bringing together vaccines and you're bringing together IT technology in a way which I think is, you know, extremely disturbing. And we see someone who knows all about IT technology, presumably, and who's suddenly taking this very, very, very extraordinary interest in vaccines. And we're talking about somebody who has a history of wanting to control vast swathes, not just of industry, but of life, the way people live their lives. Because IT does determine to a great extent how people live their lives nowadays. So I'll be very, very wary about all of this. Go on, Alex.
Yeah, I mean, it's very scary, because it's going to dictate whether you travel or not, whether you can...
Or go on a plane.
Fly on a plane.
Get a taxi. Get admitted into a hospital, or go see your doctor if you want to do that. If you want to follow the Chinese model, get credit. If you need credit, if you want to get a credit card, have you got all these vaccines, for example?
sounds like hell, but
yeah.
Anyway, look, I want to say that I'm going to put that RT America interview, which took place on January, I think it was actually 31st, 2020, with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., which is just an incredible interview because it does predate this pandemic crisis by a good month.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to hear what he has to say.
And just to remind again, everybody, we are talking about a Kennedy, Democratic Party royalty, to all intents and purposes. So, you know, this is something that is concerning people from many sides of the political spectrum. You mustn't pigeonhole people who say that they're concerned about this and what this particular gentleman we've been talking about is up to. As I said, even a Kennedy is worried about him.
Yeah. And going on that, during the interview with RT, he makes it a point to say, and this is his own words, he says, I'm paraphrasing, he says, I'm not anti-vaccine, he says. He says, what I am is someone who wants to make sure that vaccines are properly tested before we start distributing them, you know, to the masses. And he starts bringing up examples of how Big Pharma, along with the Bill Foundation, let's call it the Bill Foundation, have joined forces to force people in certain countries and certain regions, for example, India and Africa are the two regions that he highlights, to force them to get these vaccines. And the results have been absolutely horrific. Let me read you just one part from the article that he wrote the other day. And I'm going to put a link for this article as well in the description box down below. I suggest everyone read it. It's not that long of a read. It's a short article, but I'll read you one part, Alexander, and you can comment on it, because after I read it, I was absolutely horrified as to what they're doing to people, Big Pharma and the Bill Foundation. So this is from the article. This is the first three paragraphs. Vaccines for Bill G. are a strategic philanthropy that feed his many vaccine-related businesses, including Microsoft's ambition to control a global vaccination ID enterprise and give him dictatorial control of global health policy. Bill's obsession with vaccines seems to be fueled by a conviction to save the world with technology. Promising his share of $450 million of a $1.2 billion to eradicate polio, Bill took control of India's National Technical Advisory Group on Immunization, NTAGI, which mandated up to 50 doses of polio vaccines through overlapping immunization programs to children before the age of five. Indian doctors blame the G campaign for a devastating non-polio acute flaccid paralysis epidemic that paralyzed 490,000 children beyond expected rates between 2000 and 2017. In 2017, the Indian government dialed back Bill's vaccine regimen and asked Bill and his vaccine policies to leave India. NPAFP rates dropped precipitously. Non-polio acute flaccid paralysis rates dropped precipitously. Alexander, what do you make of that? It's incredible.
Well, it is incredible, but it doesn't surprise me. Now, can I just say something? And I am not somebody who's against vaccines. I get flu vaccines regularly every year. I get my flu vaccine every year. But vaccines are highly intrusive things. And I come back to what I said about Bill. He is not somebody who has any knowledge, any academic training or practical training in this field. He is becoming involved in something which he doesn't understand, at least not understand it scientifically or medically, because he doesn't have that kind of qualification, and he is intruding into something that he not only doesn't understand, but which he has a very, very clear agenda, which, of course, he's packaging in this humanitarian way. Vaccines are massively intrusive things. This is one thing, by the way, which several doctors have told me. It's something, if you're going to have a program of vaccination or you're going to develop vaccines, you need to know very well what you're doing. It's got to be done very, very carefully. And in fact, a lot of doctors tell me, doctors who support vaccines, and I've discussed this with doctors, that we are vaccinating far too much, that there are far too many vaccines going floating around. People are that there's too much vaccination, far too much use of antibiotics. And of course, it can have very negative consequences if it's not done sensibly and intelligently and sparingly. What this particular individual wants to do is he wants to force vaccines on people. It's a very top-down authoritarian model, and he wants to do it in a way that will give him a monopoly of it, and ultimately an information monopoly also. So it's alarming, and I think all these people who are inviting him onto their programs and letting him give interviews should be much more careful about this and should ask themselves, firstly, does this person know what he's talking about medically or scientifically? And secondly, what agenda does he have? Because he clearly does have one. Yeah. If he wants to help people, you know, health-wise, there's lots of health charities he can give his money to.
And I think Robert F. Kennedy is on to him. Alexander, I'll read you two more paragraphs. You could close out the video. And these paragraphs are just as incredible as the last paragraphs that I read. During Bill's 2002 Men AfriVac campaign in sub-Saharan Africa, Bill's operatives forcibly vaccinated thousands of African children against meningitis. Approximately 50 of the 500 children vaccinated developed paralysis. South African newspapers complained, quote, "We are guinea pigs for the drug makers," end quote. Nelson Mandela's former senior economist, Professor Patrick Bond, describes B's philanthropic practices as, quote, "ruthless and immoral," end quote. In 2010, Bill committed $10 billion to the WHO, saying, quote, "we must make this the decade of vaccines," end quote. A month later, Gates said in a TED talk that new vaccines could reduce population. In 2014, Kenya's Catholic Doctors Association accused the WHO of chemically sterilizing millions of unwilling Kenyan women with a tetanus vaccine campaign. Independent labs found a sterility formula in every vaccine tested. After denying the charges, WHO finally admitted it had been developing the sterility vaccines for over a decade. Similar accusations came from Tanzania, Nicaragua, Mexico, and the Philippines. Alexander, I also know that India pretty much booted Bill and his entire operation out of their country as well. We have a lot of countries here who are pissed off as to what was going on via Big Pharma and the Bill Foundation.
Well, indeed we do. And can I just point out, forcible vaccination? Who empowered? What does it even mean? I mean, how is it done?
Can I just say that Robert F. Kennedy in the article, when people see it, he has all the hyperlinks. Everything is very well sourced. I just want to make a note that everything is very well sourced. And when you see the article, you'll see that he's pretty much linked every one of his claims.
I mean, it sounds to me like an extremely powerful man and an immensely powerful company and organization and foundation are basically strong-arming governments in weak countries. India is not perhaps quite such a weak country, which is why they booted him out, but in weak countries to actually carry out compulsory and forcible, and forcible implies violent vaccination programs, which are a form of, frankly, human engineering. I mean, that's the only way I can, that's the only word I can use for it. And human control of people. I mean, it's very, very disturbing to me. I repeat again, I am not against vaccines when they're properly used by people who understand what they're doing and are doing it for a genuine health purpose. I'm not convinced this is what this is all about. It sounds very, very sinister to me. And I question whether it is, in fact, for this person to say that this should be, what was it, the century of vaccines. I mean, this is an absurd thing for someone like that to say. This is not his field of expertise. We shouldn't treat him as if he has great knowledge of these things. And he's clearly pursuing an agenda and doing this in a violent way, because forcible seems to me to imply violence or at least coercion. And we've seen that he's had some catastrophic consequences for many of the people that he's forced this thing on.
It's very dangerous to have someone like this force themselves into the public policy debate, isn't it?
It's extremely dangerous. It's extremely dangerous. And of course, when people talk about the world becoming an oligarchy, this is the classic example of this. Remember, he is a private individual. He's not elected. He's not accountable to people. He's not accountable to the people of Kenya who find they've been sterilized. He's not accountable to the people of India, to whom he's forced vaccinations, which have resulted in polio vaccines, which have resulted in people, children dying. I mean, he's not accountable to those people. He can simply walk away. And if he's managed to get governments to agree to do these things with him, I don't think he's even financially accountable for them. So this is a very, very dangerous thing, and it should be stopped. It's not for him to do. I come back to what I said. If he cares about health, that's fine. If he wants to help people, there's plenty of good, reputable health charities he could give his money to. What he's actually doing is he's acting like a parastatal person and a policymaker, imposing his policies or his agenda, if you like, on individuals in India, Kenya, Nicaragua, wherever, and doing so through force. I mean, I didn't use the word forcible vaccinations. That comes from this article, which, as you said correctly, is extremely well researched.
One final question, hypothetically speaking, and it's a probable hypothetical scenario. Say Bill in the UK, and you understand UK law, say Bill does manage to push parts of his agenda or his full agenda in the UK. How is a UK citizen protected from opting out of such policies or orders that say you have to get this vaccine or this certificate or this document? Otherwise, I'm sorry, you can't go to the gym, or you can't open up a bank, or you can't get on a plane. I mean, what is a citizen to do if Bill and the machine behind him actually gets governments to go along with his thinking?
Well, there are privacy laws which are in place. Whether there would be a strong enough protection in this kind of situation, I don't know. I suspect not, probably. So it's something to be very, very, very worried about. And bear in mind that if we're talking about specifically Britain, there is a real possibility.
Where Britain,
I mean, it's a very good example. I mean, we already have an over-close connection between the pharmaceutical industry, Big Pharma, if you like, and the National Health Service. And of course, the National Health Service can effectively decide what kind of treatment you receive. And it's very difficult to resist it. I mean, if you go to a doctor in the National Health Service, and the doctor tells you, you must be vaccinated against X, and you refuse to accept that vaccination, then, as I said, it's very difficult to change surgeries here. Very difficult. You might find it extremely difficult to get alternative treatment elsewhere. So it's.
What about going
there
around
are,
your
there
daily,
are lots of questions. I mean, there
what
are lots
about
of
your
questions.
Daily life? Like, say you say, I don't want this vaccine. I just don't want it.
Well,
are there laws that protect you from going to the bank and opening a bank account if the bank says, say the bank says, we're not going to give anyone a bank account unless they give me this certificate or unless they scan their chip over our barcode, which shows that they've been vaccinated?
Well, as I said, there are data protection laws. There are privacy laws. But the point is, these are not very strong, and they could become much weaker if a political decision is taken to go along with something like this. Then it's very, very easy to see how those would break down. At the moment, the places where they've been breaking down, as we've seen from this article, are poor countries or weak countries. But of course, if you start doing that and you start establishing your foothold in countries like India or Kenya or Nicaragua or wherever, then slowly that can incrementally build until you start to expand your presence in big countries. We mustn't think that, you know, this isn't something we should be concerned about. We should be extremely concerned about. And I come back to what I said. This person has no background in this field. What he has is an awful lot of money and an awful lot of power, but he is ultimately unaccountable. And that makes him extremely dangerous. If he wants to help people, there are plenty of health charities he can give his money to. What he is doing is he's meddling in medical and health policy to pursue an agenda of his own, which is to get everybody vaccinated.
Very dangerous stuff.
Very dangerous. To get himself to get everybody vaccinated. For what purpose?
To have everybody tracked.
Well, to have everybody tracked. And of course, he's got the big technology background and company, which is there to do it for him. So, as I said, let's be very careful about that. I mean, not just careful. Let's be
vigilant.
Extremely vigilant about this. And you know, it's something we should be very, very wary about. And of course, if this individual tries to capitalize on the current health crisis to pursue this agenda, we should be even more vigilant and even more careful. We should not let him exploit this for his own purposes in this way.
All right. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of The Durant. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell and smash that like button. Also look for us on iTunes and on SoundCloud as well for a copy of this video in audio format. And please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. Your donation really helps us out a whole lot. And also go to this Durant shop, pick up some cool merchandise, great shirts, and awesome magic mugs. The magic mugs.
Awesome magic mugs. Yeah. They are the best magic mugs you can get anywhere. They are phenomenal and fantastic. And I speak as the world expert on the subject. I mean, the person we were talking about is not an expert on what he's talking about. I am the unequivocal expert on this subject. I have been drinking coffee and tea since I was at school in voluminous quantities. And I have gone through hundreds, probably thousands of mugs of every description and in many nations. So I am the absolute undisputed expert on the subject of mugs. And can I say, these are the best mugs you will find and get anywhere. They are beautiful. They are strong. They have lots of space for lots of tea and coffee. They keep it hot. They keep your beer cold if you prefer to drink beer from them. You can plonk them in the microwave and take them out and the tea will be hot and the handle will be cold. They don't chip or break or crack and they look fantastic. And this one, as you can see, is the one with the double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation, which has now become my default magic mug. So if you come to our shop and buy one of these, you will have the best mug there is. And by the way, just to add to that, the feedback we're getting from our viewers who buy them is overwhelming. I mean, they absolutely love them. So the best magic mugs, the best coffee and tea mugs, and the best polo shirts you will find anywhere. 100% cotton, beautifully made, incredibly comfortable, phenomenally stylish. And I should know, I'm not going to pretend that I'm the best expert on polo shirts, but I do know a lot about polo shirts. And they are really great and wonderful polo shirts. I've worn them in the most wonderful places, social occasions, walking the dogs, climbing mountains, on the ski slopes, or at least on the après ski. And as I said, I felt great and looked great wherever I've been wearing them. And you can see that they all have embroidered on them the double-headed eagle of the Duran, which is, by the way, different from the run of the Russian Federation. You can see that they are actually quite different. And of course, we don't have polo shirts. We've got absolutely great t-shirts, long-sleeved and short-sleeved. We've also got V-neck shirts. We've got hats, hoodies, and stickers. We've also got the e-books, great e-books on topics like Russiagate, Ukrainegate, Brexit, Epstein. So you support us by buying these things. You become the owner of these great things. So don't hold back. Support the Duran. Buy yourself these great things. Alex will tell you how.
Just go to theduranshop.com. You'll find a link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.